So we are chatting with Kirsten Oberoi, founding artistic director for the South Shore Children's Chorus, to learn a little bit more about that group and about how you might be able to participate. So Kirsten, very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
Appreciate the opportunity. I know that you, along with many other organizations, have had to kind of pivot on the fly because of the pandemic, but still continue on with your mission. If you could tell us a little bit about the chorus first.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Quincy. I grew up right off of Wollaston Beach, and I went through the Quincy public school systems. And I always kind of was in music. My parents were musicians, and I always wanted to sing in a children's chorus, but it was tough in the location to inside Boston, where those children's choruses existed, to have the transportation with two working parents to get in the city and out of the city. So what I really wanted in starting South Shore Children's Chorus was a place for South Shore residents to be able to come together and sing together grades K through 12. So we began, it was founded in January of 2016. And since then we've grown to host around 100 students a year, if not more. And we have a big summer program that happens in Easton as well. So currently we have three different levels of choruses. Our training choir level for kindergarten through second grade students, our intermediate choir level from third to sixth grade students, and our advanced choir level from seventh to 12th grade students. We serve any student who wants to learn how to sing. There is no audition process for us. If you want to sing, we believe as the teachers of South Shore Children's Chorus that it's our job to teach you how to do this skill. So it's a really exciting place that's very inclusive, and we just have a lot of fun. And it's been challenging since the pandemic, because obviously coming together from different communities is what our mission is based on. And so that presents a significant challenge when communities want to stay within themselves for the pandemic's sake. But we have some really exciting fall offerings that are totally different and really creative and have both virtual and hybrid outside rehearsal options to help with whatever comfort level you have for your particular situation with the pandemic.
Okay, so is this kind of your full-time day job, or is this something that you're doing, you know, on the side?
Maybe one day. but for now, I also teach chorus in Foxborough Public Schools at the middle school level.
Oh, all right. So, which is presenting another challenge in the public school setting right now.
Lots of challenges. Today was my first day teaching remotely from school, and that had its challenges. And I had students in cohorts the past 2 days, and it's definitely an adjustment, but it is worth it to see the smiles on their faces when they come and they get to be in the space where they get to be their creative and unique selves.
Yeah.
After so long.
So were you professionally trained then in music and in chorus, I guess?
Yes. I went to college in California, in San Diego, and my degree is actually in music composition, but my parents are both music educators. My mom was the music director in Braintree Public Schools for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of runs in my blood. And when I was 13 or 14, I said, the last thing I will ever be is a public school educator. And that was my 13 or 14 year old rebellion against, I'm going to be different than the family. But I fell right into that path, and I'm really thrilled to be alongside so many fabulous music educators in Foxborough and through South Shore Children's Chorus.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's more than a job. It's a passion for you. Yeah. How do folks find out about you? You know, how does the chorus get developed, basically?
We have a lot of word of mouth. Our website is very active, www.southshorechildrenschorus.org. And we are also very active on Facebook. We have over 1,000 followers on Facebook, and all of our concerts for the past 2 or 3 years are all on YouTube. So a lot of people find us through just kind of searching for an artistic outlet for their child online or through word of mouth from one of our families.
Oh, okay. So why should a child participate in your course as opposed to maybe one at their school or in their community or both?
Absolutely. I mean, the ultimate goal is to give the students an additional opportunity from their school chorus. We absolutely, everyone who teaches for the South Shore Children's Chorus is also a public school music educator.
Oh, okay.
And we want, the goal is to support music education programs, but we also realize that there are a lot of students that get very limited time in ensemble courses, or there are some ensembles are so large that they want more. Mm-hmm. And that's the, what we're trying to provide. So we hope that every single one of our students is actually singing in school, but we also hope to offer them an opportunity where we can give them a little bit more one-on-one attention, or we can teach them at a faster pace, mm-hmm. or if they need a little extra help, or if they just want to meet new students from who don't go to their school, who love to do the same thing. I like to explain it sometimes to people who aren't sure what it's about, that it's kind of like club soccer for chorus.
Okay.
It's the same sort of idea, you know, and we find that the students really love coming together from different communities because they have different experiences where one student might come in and their teacher relies really heavily on music theory and music literacy. And another student might come in and their teacher really relies on performance aspect and show choir and things like that. And then we meld those two strengths together and they get to learn from each other a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah. So it's more than just, you know, one period during their school day. This is, it sounds like full immersion in chorus.
Exactly. And you know, in one period a day for a lot of school systems is lucky. And especially with the current pandemic and, you know, there are a lot of music programs that took a significant cut, or a lot of music programs that have gone to just a general music curriculum until the pandemic is finished without any ensembles, no band, chorus, or orchestra. So we want to try and help fill that void the very best we can.
Sure. And, you know, unfortunately, when it comes time to cut budgets, the arts are usually one of the first to suffer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you could run down the kind of the curriculum for us at South Shore Children's Chorus, how does it actually work?
Sure. So a student, though we aren't this old yet, our goal is that a student would stay in the program from kindergarten through 12th grade. In kindergarten through second grade, our training choir curriculum relies heavily on movement and dance and games and fun. And the students are learning to explore their instrument. And they don't even know that they're exploring their instrument. They're having fun and playing games and learning folk songs, a lot of American folk song, while making a ton of new friends. So it's really a curriculum of love and inclusivity. There it is. Thank you. And just really enjoying each other's company and giving the time and space to explore. We've had students that come in kindergarten and they won't actually sing until middle of first grade because that was their time. That was the time that they felt comfortable and they participated, but it wasn't until that time that they sang. And then all of a sudden you can't get them to stop. And one of the things that our two training choir directors, Mrs. Kelly Graber, who actually is also a Quincy resident and native, and Elizabeth Shore, both of them are just fabulous at allowing students and giving them the patience and the time to understand what singing is and the confidence that that takes and just how to sing together with others in a super healthy and super exciting and fun way.
Yeah. So how long is a course, you know, typically? About how many weeks?
We try and run a full year course.
Oh, okay.
So this year is a little different, obviously, but in our regular season, we begin in September and we end in May. Okay. We have a big concert in January and a big concert at the end of May.
Okay. Are those going to be able to happen right now? Do you know?
No, not right now. Unfortunately, it's just not an option to bring that many people together. At our last concert that we were able to have last January, we actually had over 500 people in attendance. Wow. And an audience of 500 right now is just not something that's possible. So unfortunately, no, but we hope to kind of come up with some creative options going forward.
Okay. Do you actually have a physical space somewhere?
We rehearse in two different places. We rehearse, our main place is Quincy Point Congregational Church.
Oh.
That's our main spot. And then we also have a satellite chorus location in Sharon at the Sharon Community Center.
Okay. And where the performance is held in, you know, normal times?
Yeah, different places. We had held our performances at Quincy Point Congregational Church, and then we outgrew that. And then we held our performances at a church, a Catholic church in Braintree that's leaving my brain right now. But then they were doing...
St. Francis, perhaps? Or
it wasn't St. Francis.
Okay. One of the other ones.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful church and it worked perfectly. And then they were doing some renovations. So we bopped around here and there, trying to find a space that could fill all the people that, because our chorus grew and the audience grew with the chorus.
Sure.
So yeah. It was an exciting time and it's, anyway, yeah. But to get back to curriculum, the training, that was the training chorus. And then our intermediate choir is a really fun chorus. That's for third to sixth graders and taught by Matthew Coveney, who's a Braintree resident and Braintree native, and Ashley Prickle Kane, who was the director in Walpole at Walpole High School and now is in Barrington, Rhode Island. But both of them are fabulous with this age group of, I like to call it the age group of weird. They're fun and they're exploring and they're doing so much, but let me tell you, the kids in intermediate chorus just absolutely love to sing.
Nice.
And what our curriculum kind of bases off, they actually, starting in the intermediate level, every student gets a 30-minute musicianship class at their level where they're learning where to look on a choral score, music reading skills, rehearsal skills, ear training skills, confidence skills, just so many things that they're learning in these blocks. And then they have rehearsal together. And, you know, my favorite thing about when I get to go check in and poke my head in at intermediate choir rehearsals is the energy. Mm-hmm. They just have so much energy and they love being there and they're jumping in the seat and out of the seat and singing this song. And it's really great. And, you know, that's such a fantastic age to keep your child singing because it's so easy for them at that age to just absolutely love it.
Yeah. And it's very formative years as well. Something that's going to be instilled with them for the rest of their lives, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then our final curriculum is the advanced choir level. And we actually just recently changed the advanced choir level slightly to include two sort of sub-levels within it. So students from grades 7 through 12 are in the advanced choir. And there's actually a treble ensemble for higher voices and a baritone ensemble for lower voices. And that's to kind of help with the fact that as singers, their body grows and their instrument changes.
Yes. Yeah.
I like to say there are many students in that age group that are handed a flute and then they are handed a tuba and said, learn this. So it's a great way to kind of help them with that technique, and they sing those in those ensembles. And then any student grade 9 through 12 who passes a music literacy exam is in our concert ensemble, which is a soprano, alto, tenor, bass ensemble, all four parts.
Okay.
So it's a nice little place where they get to grow during their formative years, and they get to sing with the older students, and the older students get a place where they can really sing some advanced stuff. In the past, we've done We did a collaboration with the Quincy Choral Society, where we did Carmina Burana. We've done collegiate works. We've done collaborations, and it's just been a lot of fun working with that group. That's the group I get to conduct, and they're just amazing students. Last year, I think we had singers from 15 different towns involved, which is so much fun for them, and they get to make new friends. I've seen new relationships and new friendships just kind of blossom out of that, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, are there actually classes for instruments as well, to learn instruments?
Not yet. We do have a staff accompanist who during this pandemic time is actually offering some classes like piano skills for singers.
Oh, okay.
And different lessons and types for singers. And she's actually a Quincy native as well, a Quincy resident, Lynn Salmonson. She's wonderful. And so any student K through 12 that's interested in learning piano can take some piano lessons with Ms. Salmonson.
Okay. And do you actually have, report cards, if you will, and grades and graduations, things like that?
You know, we tend to be in pretty constant communication with our parents. The nice thing, especially with the students at the younger age, is that we get to see the families when they come and pick up their students. And the parents get to see the smiles on the kids' faces when they first leave that door. And I know a lot of the parents personally. I like to stick around during rehearsal and make sure I get to know everybody. And so while we don't have an exact report card system, if there's an issue, which we don't often have, we tend to just be really in communication a lot with our parents and keeping them in the loop, and they're keeping us in the loop. And it's a lot of fun to build the relationship, not only with the student, but with the parent.
Sure. Yeah. Just as you say, in your own situation, music permeates families,
through. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you know of any folks who have come through the South Shore Children's Chorus who've gone on to continue to, music, either professionally or at least amateurly?
Absolutely. Actually, I'm very excited to say that I believe our previous senior class, almost every single student is continuing to sing either at the collegiate level or in their communities,
wow.
Whether or not that's their major. That's a big part for me that I like to instill in the kids, is just to remind them on a regular basis that you don't have to be a music major to keep singing and keeping music in your life. So, I actually got to do a really fun thing with my husband. My husband's also a choral director, and we have a barn at our house, and we actually got to have most of the alumni over this summer to do small group singing in an outside environment, which was really fun. And a lot of them are still bettering their skills, taking voice lessons, taking college choir, and learning more and hungry to do so. And I think that in itself, it shows the immense success that South Shore Children's Chorus has had.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you are going to proceed during this time of COVID, what the actual plan is for right now, Kirsten.
Absolutely. It's definitely different. The first thing we've done is we've actually just shortened our semester, and we are starting in the beginning of October and then ending the week of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We're doing this because we don't want to plan too far in advance, with hopes that the future holds something more like normalcy, and knowing that we are a creative staff and we can come up with something for the spring semester if we so need.
Mm-hmm.
So we just planned 8-week courses from October all the way through November. Yeah. For all age levels. Each age level has both a virtual option and a hybrid option, because we know that some families are really looking for their child to be back in person in some way. And we also know that some families don't have that at their disposal and might want to communicate virtually. And we want to be able to reach those students as well. So our training choir level, the kindergarten through second graders, have this awesome program that my training choir directors came up with, and they are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant humans with this age group. I know this because I struggle with those young age groups. It's hard. It takes a very special person to teach kindergarten through second grade, and they have come up with a virtual program called Pajama Jams.
Okay.
And where the students meet one evening a week, I believe it's Tuesdays, but the information's on our website. I cannot remember off the top of my head, but they'll meet once a week and all in their pajamas via Zoom. Yep. And they will be learning different songs around a theme and a book. So they'll be doing some singing at home, and families are invited to join in. And it's going to be a lot of fun. They have all of these games lined up that you can do that help, again, with vocal exploration and all of the things I mentioned in our curriculum, but it can all be done from home.
Okay.
And then if the students choose, they'll have four optional in-person rehearsals outside at Quincy Point Congregational Church on Sunday afternoons, where they can come and sing those songs they've learned and sing them with other students.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a great program. I highly recommend it. It's just something that I think, I just knowing these teachers, I know it's going to be worth the time and the logging in on Zoom, because the kids are just going to have a blast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a positive is that, I mean, normally parents probably wouldn't participate in rehearsals and practice. So here,
right. Absolutely. And it's something, you know, where parents always love being involved in what their kid is doing, and just having that kind of option, especially in this time where it feels like through this pandemic, parents and families are becoming almost more connected, and they mm-hmm. have to be, because they've been together for so long. It's a great outlet for that.
Sure.
And plus, if you've got little ones roaming around, two or three-year-olds, they can listen in and join on in, you know? It's not going to bother anybody. So it's a great kind of family before bed activity, where they get to get out some wiggles and sing some songs and set themselves up for a successful night's sleep.
Yeah, and are there still openings?
Absolutely. The wonderful thing also about Zoom is that we can have as many people.
I think up to 1,000 on a platform.
Sign up. So, you know, if we have 1,000 students, I'll I don't know what I'll do, but it'll be an excited dance of some sort. But yes, there are definitely still slots open. And the way this program actually works is you could either purchase one class, or you could purchase a package and come to every single one. Okay. Each one will be its own kind of event. And so you can either just come, or you can pick and choose if you know you're only going to be available for certain dates.
Okay.
So we tried to be as flexible as possible with parents that way.
Okay. And we can't talk about pricing, but is there financial assistance available for folks who might be struggling?
Absolutely. There's a tuition assistance link on our website. And actually a huge part of our mission is we have never turned any child away for reasons of finances. We have been able to come up with scholarship for anyone who fills out our need-based tuition assistance application. So I would highly recommend that if this is something that families want to do with their children, we are passionate about making it work.
Okay. And are there virtual programs for the older kids as well?
Yes. Our third to sixth graders will be doing a program called Sing to the World.
Okay.
And that's going to be a great program where they're going to explore different repertoire from all over the world, and different songs from different countries and different languages, and talking about cultures, different cultures, and how music is kind of involved in different cultures than where we're living, which is so fascinating, especially to students that age, and gives them kind of a way to connect their passion with acceptance and understanding of other cultures and other cultural differences. And they will also be meeting via Zoom. This is a full class package. It would be all 8 weeks. They meet via Zoom and also have four outside optional hybrid rehearsals for those who are interested in going.
Okay.
So that's going to be great. That's super exciting. And then at the advanced level, we have two voice technique classes, one for treble voices, grade 7 through 12, and one for baritone or changing voices, grade 7 through 12. And then, so I'll be teaching those courses, and we're going to be exploring a lot of different things about just voice anatomy. The voice is the only instrument that we can't really see. We can't put our hands on. And I find it's very, very important for students, and they find it fascinating to figure out exactly how the voice does work. We'll also be doing a lot of body mapping, body movement. We are going to have guest speakers. One of them is actually a Quincy resident, Jason Dyer. He'll be doing some yoga for singers and different things like that, and helping their really with alignment in that part of their technique, and just exploring solo folk songs and different things that they can do to really improve their singing technique while they're at home.
How many, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just curious how many teachers you have on staff. Sounds like a pretty...
I know everybody. I know everybody. Now, we have... we have four teachers on staff and a staff accompanist.
Okay.
And then I pull other people in all the time because I know the most fabulous people in the entire world who are just absolutely amazing at what they do. And if I can get them in front of my students, I know my students will have an amazing experience.
Must be positive for them too, to be exposed to kids, you know, interested in learning at that level.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I firmly believe, like, ask the expert. For example, for these voice technique classes, a friend of mine, Kristen Murdaugh, is going to speak with them about vocal anatomy. And she actually went to NEC for vocal pedagogy, and she studied intensely vocal anatomy. Whereas I know vocal anatomy, but I didn't study it intensely for a degree. So for me, I want to get the best person and the most knowledgeable person in front of my students so they can just soak up as much as they can in that way.
Yeah.
So, and then the final program we kind of have is an additional program for 7th through 12th graders, which is very exciting, but we'll be doing a collaboration with a professional a cappella group from Boston that our training choir director, Liz Shore, actually sings in.
Oh.
So it's kind of neat. We're going to be doing a professional socially distanced music video where each of the students gets actual studio time with a professional recording artist to record their part. And he'll assemble it all together. And then a professional videographer working. And the a cappella group is going to be doing sectionals with the students, meeting with the students. They get to learn about vocal percussion. They get to learn about the style of a cappella. So this is all stuff that we never have time for in our regular season.
Right.
So we tried to take the initiative of what can we do that we don't have the opportunity or the time to do otherwise. And so I'm actually very excited about this semester because I know it's going to be an amazing experience for any kid who gives it a try. And I also know that, you know, all of the teachers that are going to be teaching the program are just going to give them a fabulous experience.
Yeah. So Kirsten, what's kind of your hope for the future of the South Shore Children's Chorus? Where would you like to go from here?
The best children's chorus in the world. No, for me, I would love to see it grow just in numbers. I would love to just spread the word that we exist. I know there are a lot of people in Quincy, we've been around for 4 years, that might not know that we exist, that we're here and we're ready with open arms to take your students and to sing with them. I would love to see more satellites in other areas of the South Shore, more satellite rehearsals. You know, I would love to kind of push inward, inland, and more south of Quincy, just to kind of expand our reach and our ability to kind of sing with more students and to give an outlet for more music educators to do more music teaching in an environment. You know, there might be music teachers out there that have a more toxic environment in school or even there are a lot of music teachers that are the only music teacher at their school. Mm-hmm. They're their own island, and giving them a space to work collaboratively with other music teachers and to really do chorus in an awesome and fun and inclusive way is something that they might not actually be able to get to do in their day. So I would just love to just see it continue to grow and really flourish in the students that we have. The way that I really see we need growth in order to do that is we're looking for volunteer board members. So if anyone is watching this and you just kind of feel the spirit, please don't hesitate to reach out to my email, which you can find on our website, but it's Oberoi, O-B-E-R-O-I, at South Shore Children's Chorus, or sschorus.org. But I would love to see more members of the community come out to really support us in the administrative and the business ways that we need to be kind of supported to move forward.
Sure. Anything else you'd like to add today?
I don't think so. Just please feel free to reach out to me or any of our teachers if this piqued your interest in any way, whether you have a student at home who loves to sing or you're interested in volunteering or coming to our concerts. We have an email list where we send out emails with updates on a regular basis. We are definitely open to any ideas that people in the community might have to help us grow and to help the word be spread that we are here and we are ready to sing with your kiddos.
All right. Well, hopefully we helped you push that mission forward a little bit here at QATV. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for asking. It's exciting. And especially as someone who's a Quincy native, it's fun for me to be able to do something to give back to my hometown.
Great. Thanks, Kirsten. We'll catch up again soon.
Definitely.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.